Hey, what's going on? My name's Kyle.
Welcome back again.
All right. So let's try this again. How's it going, Matt?
Matthew.
Hello.
Hey, something.
Turn your mic on.
Oh, wait, that's right.
Oh, that's right. He's not here. Sorry.
Huh. What? How much better is this episode?
Man, I think it's just going to increase by 5% with every 5 minutes that we're on the air.
Ooh, that's a lot. That's a lot. That's what we like to call in the business exponential growth.
Yes, yes, definitely.
But what's Matt doing?
I'm going to say something involving food.
Food? Yeah, probably.
And
do you think he has his shirt on still?
God, I hope so.
For the sake of everybody
else. Yes, for the sake of everyone's eyesight.
No, okay, so Matt's gone. We were going to get him
on a cell phone call,
but he declined.
He chose not to participate.
Imagine that. You know, somebody around here's got a party on the weekend.
Hey, good podcast.
So this is Spitballs of Fire. We know we're kind of late with this episode, and we have very good reason. Last week we tried recording, and everything was going decent, but then we made it like 28 minutes.
Might have went off the rails a little bit.
Yeah,
we tried to do too much.
Yeah, yeah.
We got too big for our britches, pretty much.
So we decided to just scrap the episode and not burden you guys with the heaping pile of shit that was episode 11.5.
Yeah. Think of part 3, but worse.
Much worse condensed down into 28 minutes.
Yeah, so we're definitely going to spare that. I would say some good things did come of it, but overall, it's definitely not worth posting.
Yeah, definitely not. Maybe further down the road. It's like a, hey, because we still haven't even posted episodes 1 through 5 yet. And that's because they're so shitty.
The sound is, yes, definitely. The quality.
Yeah. So we might just save up a batch of episodes and toss a couple out here and there.
Just shotgun them out.
Yeah.
Like, definitely.
Yeah, sorry about these episodes.
Yeah, in advance.
Yeah, in advance. I feel like we would have to apologize in advance.
All right, so what are we going to talk about today, Gary?
I think we're going to talk about some brainchilds of ours.
Okay.
This whole the sweet 16 of desserts.
Yes, the sweet 16.
The quote unquote sweet 16.
Yes.
As we like to call.
Yes.
As we have been, you know, referring to it.
Maybe for a little bit.
Because we came out with it. All right, that's about it.
I mean, everyone pretty much loves March Madness. I think, right?
Wrong, but go on.
All right, well, do we...
Everybody should
enjoy the bracket format, maybe?
Yeah,
like, we enjoy competition. We enjoy, like, to see who's best.
For those of you that don't know...
competitive environment.
For those of you that don't know what the Sweet 16 is, it's a single elimination bracket, 16 players. And, I mean, you should all know what a bracket is by now.
Yes.
Right?
I would hope so.
You're old enough to listen to this?
I'd say go to Google and type in bracket.
Yeah. And then just
hit images.
Images.
Boom.
Yeah.
There it is.
You'd be like, oh, that thing.
That thing with lines.
That thing with lines.
At 90-degree angles.
I see posted up every March everywhere.
Oh,
with
man.
People filling them in.
So, but in our Sweet 16, the players will be replaced with desserts.
Yeah, it's all about the thing that you don't order after your meal. But, you know, you always want
it. Maybe you want it?
You're like, ooh, that looks so good, but, man, I just...
Yeah. As an American,
no,
you've already ate way too much.
Yeah.
And,
And see, you know what the trick is? Because you're most likely to not finish your meal at a restaurant. I know I have a hard time doing it. Matt, on the other hand...
Well, you know, Matt finishes his and whatever's left of everyone else's.
Of everyone else's. Yeah. And what you do is you order dessert first. You eat that, and then you eat whatever you want out of your meal, and then you take the rest home, and you're completely satisfied.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I could probably count on my one hand how many times I've actually ordered a dessert at a restaurant.
That's true.
So, I don't know. They need to figure out a way to just insert more fucking dessert.
Insert more dessert.
But we're going to insert plenty of dessert on our Sweet 16. We've had some pretty heated debates about what's going to make the cut.
Yeah, we've gone through like two lists now. And we've even tried to match them up and seed them. But then we realized that wasn't really working out.
No, there's too much. There's too much variation. So true. What we're going to do is, as we're talking about other stuff throughout the show, we're going to input our specific picks.
Yes. Correct? Our very specific picks.
Yes.
Like down to what kind of cake. Not just cake in general. What kind of cake.
Yes.
What flavor.
Yes.
Of pudding.
Exactly. And when we get to Sweet 16, we'll have our 16. And if you don't like it, then, well, too bad.
Yeah, you're not recording the podcast. We
yeah,
are.
This is our shit.
Yeah, like, you guys probably think that we do this for you guys, right? But actually, no. We don't. We do this because we want something to keep
us,
you know,
sane.
Yes,
keep us, the voices in our head to a minimum.
Not only that, but for like further like prosperity. Like, we want to go back when we're like 50 years old and listen
yeah.
to this.
Yeah.
This is for us. You guys just get a little glimpse into it.
Yeah, definitely. Because, you know, we need some type of recording that Matt Hentz once lived.
That there was a man. That ridiculous.
That ridiculous, yes. He did, in fact, exist. And when the structure of the show reaches a good strength level, I think we can introduce another character in
Ooh.
Our lives.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. I like that idea a lot.
Let's table that. People probably wonder what the fuck is going on right now. All right. That. They're like, someone crazier than Matt? It's true. That person does exist.
He does exist.
All right, so anyway, let's talk about, I don't know, what are we gonna start, man? You want to do you got a Star Wars trivia?
I do have
in the chamber.
A piece of Star Wars trivia for you.
All right, let's hear it.
And I didn't know this. I was actually going through, or it was back in May, the beginning of May. May the 4th be with you. I was watching Star Wars, and I was talking to him about it with my buddy Michael, and he just like pulled this out of nowhere. Because I mentioned, I'm like, it's weird how in episode 1, Padme, played by Natalie Portman, has this, like, accent to her. But then in 2 and 3, it's like, you know, standard American accent.
Yeah.
Never to go back to, you know, whatever it was before. And I texted him that. I'm like, well, that's funny. Like,
what planet is she from?
She's from Naboo. Mm-hmm. Which, like, a lot of them don't have accents.
So she had the Naboo, she had the accent in the first one, but not the last two?
Yeah.
Well, it's correct. Easy, man. She was taken away from her environment.
Oh.
She had the Nabooian accent.
I don't believe
and
that.
Now
one
it's
bit.
Gone. She stopped dropping her R's. And
but, so I asked him that, or I told him that, and he's like, hey, did you know so and so played so and so? And I was like, what? So the question this week is, who played Sabe, one of Padme's decoy handmaidens? Like, her main one.
Oh, shit.
The actual actress. This will blow your mind. Because it blew mine.
You know, that's a good... I'm just going to keep talking for a little while I think about this. But did that solve the issue of why there was an accent? Was because
no.
her body double was speaking and not her?
No, because they both had the same accent. It was just like, come on, what the fuck?
Remember when she's just like, she said committee really weird. When she was like,
committee.
I would not to the committee.
The committee.
So like,
I mean, you could ask me some questions. It's a famous actress.
Do you think Padme's makeup was influenced by Memoirs of a Geisha?
That's a tough question. We're going to have to go with yes. It was George Lucas, and he watched that movie and he goes, perfect. I think actually that's why he started production. He's like, now I gotta make the fucking prequels.
I would love to hear if George Lucas just had a fetish for, like, geishas, and that's how Queen Amidala came about.
A geisha fetish. Now, that's one I've never heard of.
I bet
before.
It exists.
Oh, type dude, it in everything. Google. Every fetish exists.
That's true.
I am going to type it in Google. Go ahead.
Oh, but okay, so I gotta think of a fucking actress. She's like, what is she famous for, though? TV or movies?
Movies.
Oh, man.
Movies.
Is there, like, a good hint that you could give me that wouldn't fully give it away?
Yeah. Okay, how about this? She's, like, she's in one of the biggest franchises of all time, Disney, I believe.
Oh, I think I already know what it is then.
Yeah?
Keira Knightley?
Yeah.
Bam!
Nicely done. Yeah, Keira Knightley playing...
I did not know that.
Her decoy.
Well, that makes sense then for the accent, right?
No, because they both had the decoy in the first movie. They both had the accent.
Okay, I get you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Keira Knightley.
So if Keira Knightley and Natalie Portman showed up at your door... And only one could give you a blowjob. Which one would it be?
That's a tough question.
All right, let me ask an easier question. If you could play horse against Keira Knightley or Natalie Portman, who do you think is a better basketball player?
I mean, I don't know if this is true, but... I think Keira Knightley's taller.
She's tall. She probably is taller.
Yeah.
I mean, she's English, so I don't know how much basketball they get over there. Natalie Portman's from Israel. I think she's born in Israel.
Really?
She's Israeli. Yeah, I know she has an Israeli descent.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That just makes her 10 times hotter. I don't know why. But no,
Do you think that would be the world's lamest arm wrestling contest? Natalie Portman and Keira Knightley, just like two white skinny bitches just going at it.
And I would have to say Keira Knightley would win because I have yet to see Natalie Portman in like a badass role.
What are you talking about, dude? V for Vendetta. She shaved her head.
Yeah, she.
Leon the Professional. She was trained by a fucking assassin.
Yeah, but she was never like the main focus badass. Whereas. Keira Knightley was in Domino. She fucking...
Oh, see, I've never seen that movie.
Ooh, it's good.
Is it?
It's real good.
Is it, like, give you a boner good, or is it actually, like, oh, it's actually a pretty good movie?
Give you a boner good.
Okay.
But to your question, I would have to go with Natalie Portman. I've had a crush on her for the longest time. And her just being in the Star Wars universe just kind of upped that crush.
You're like, oh, Padme. What? Nothing. Oh, man.
It'd be like more like, oh, pad management. Oh, nothing. Wow.
All right.
So, yeah, that was the damn, Star Wars.
That's a good corner. One. But
next topic. Next.
All right, man.
Next.
Oh, just a quick side note. We made each other CB handles on the horrible podcast that will never be...
Yes.
Posted. Yep. But I'm Pickle Loaf.
Pickle Loaf. Yes, you heard it right, Pickle Loaf. And for those of you that don't know what Pickle Loaf is, Kyle, please tell them the abomination that is Pickle
Okay.
Loaf.
Well, if any of you love bologna out there, which I hope it's not very many, I don't know. You're not my friend anymore. But they basically splice bits of pickle and basically put it in a bologna.
Now they do that at a genetic level, right? They splice
yes,
it at a genetic level.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the genetic abomination that is bologna has further been mutated using pickles, and you get pickle loaf.
It's so gross. Oh, my God.
So, I don't know. I just thought Pickle Loaf would be a good handle for me, you know?
Pickle Loaf.
Makes people cringe.
And then Matt is... What did he say he was?
I don't know, but what's yours? You're just Delta Dick, right?
Delta Dick. Because I was trying to figure out, I was trying to remember what...
Alpha Brain.
Yeah, that supplement that that Matt took.
Yeah.
For his dreaming. And I just, it was, I knew it was a Latin letter, or, and then a part of the body.
Yeah.
So Delta Dick.
Delta Dick.
And that's how Delta Dick was born.
Can't even think of Matt's though. It's not ringing a bell.
Yeah, it's so weird.
I don't know, man.
Should we just like give him one?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, it's this. I'm like, nah. Like, shut up. Just, I mean, if we stick with it,
yeah,
eventually the listeners are going to refer to him.
Definitely.
And he'll just have to submit.
Yeah.
So what do you think it should be?
Apple pie a la mode? No, it's too long.
I like the a la mode.
A la mode, yeah.
But we gotta change mode.
You would.
How about
Gouda mode?
Apple pie a la chode.
I do like the a la chode.
A la chode.
A la chode.
Is that what we're calling?
I don't know. Did you hear what I said earlier?
Uh-uh.
I said gout a mode.
Gout a mode. No, because that's not funny, because I have gout too.
Oh my god. I don't know.
Just wait, one day you'll get it too.
Speaking of things that could give you gout, let's go back to our Sweet 16. You got one in the chamber for now?
I do all actually. Right. And this is like one of my all-time.
Start writing these down.
All-time favorite desserts. If this is around, I will not hesitate to...
Kill a man?
Well, if I have to. But, like, it doesn't matter how much I've eaten, I can always make room for this one sweet.
Alright, what do you got?
And it's seasonal.
Is it Charlie's Chocolate?
Charlie's Chocolate? Is that seasonal?
Yeah. Are we talking about the same... you know what I'm talking about, though? The one with the chocolate and the marshmallow fluff and the crunch. Yeah, it's seasonal.
Is it really?
Okay, well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen it not around Christmas time?
Man, I can't remember.
See? I don't know. We're getting off topic.
Yeah,
well, not really, but...
My pick would have to be the one, the only... Pumpkin pie?
Ooh, pumpkin pie.
With whipped cream.
Okay. That's a good one.
Like, I love it. Like, I so look forward to it every year.
It's like the perfect sweetness level. It's the perfect consistency for a pie. Like, it almost has that, I don't know, there's just a lot of great things to it. Because when you get the mixture of the whipped cream and the apple pie and the crust, it's a beautiful thing, really. Pie. What's that?
The pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
You said apple pie.
Oh, sorry. It's a beautiful...
Dave Batchardine is my favorite dessert. Apple pie. Wow, how original, Kyle. No, but, yeah, and recent... I mean, the variations are, you know, phenomenal, too. Like pumpkin pecan pie. Fucking, that's delicious.
Yeah, but now you're getting into mixtures, though.
Well, I mean, it's just pumpkin pie with pecans, like, on top.
Yeah, but pecan pie can be its own pie.
Pecan pie is its own pie, and that's good. But, Last October or last fall, I tried a spin on my other favorite dessert of all time. It was actually a mixture. They were spliced at a genetic level. It was pumpkin cheesecake.
That sounds amazing.
Dude, it was amazing. It was by far like the best I've ever had. But I have to go with pumpkin pie for sure.
All right, that's a good one. I actually out of all the pies, that's probably my favorite also.
Yeah.
Because I'm not really a big sweet guy. I think they're super sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's going to be sweet, it's got to be chocolate. And mine is going to be German chocolate cake.
Oh, so good.
Like,
so good.
German chocolate. Like, I'm not a milk drinker. Like, I just, like, cringed at the sight of my girlfriend just drinking a glass of milk.
I know, so does my roommate.
But if... I'm eating a piece of German chocolate cake with some milk. I mean, does it get any better?
In the cake roll? No. Like, there's... man, I mean, that might be my favorite cake as well. German chocolate. It would have to be German chocolate, or it had to be birthday cake.
Yep, definitely. All birthday right, so we got two. Matt, you want to chime in? No.
I like everything.
It's true, Matt. You do like everything. No, I don't know what Matt's would be. What do you think it would be? Can we just postulate? Wait, is that guesstimulate? Guesstimatize?
I don't know, but like whatever, I think just whatever Matt's like cramming into his mouth at the time is just like the best thing he's ever had. Cause like I've been with Matt a lot of times where he's just like gone overboard on something that he's eating just because he's hungry. He's just like, oh, this is the best thing I've ever put in my mouth. Oh, this is the best thing. Like, he's so ridiculous.
Oh, so good. So good.
Like, it can't be that good. Like, you know what I mean? Just like with the language today. Just like, man, it's like literally the best thing I've ever tasted. Really? The best thing you've ever tasted? Come on now. Let's tone it down.
What was that, stuff we used to see back in the day? What was that called?
What?
What was that stuff we used to eat back in the day?
You see?
That we used to eat.
Oh.
Oh, that's right. Pussy. Yeah. No, but going back, I just want to go back to German chocolate cake real quick. That is, like, one of the only desserts I can do that has, like, coconut on it.
Yeah, dude, I hate coconut.
I hate it with passion, but German chocolate cake is so good.
With a deep passion.
That's all I have to say about that.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty sure that we could just, like, take a piece of cardboard and put maple syrup on it. And if Matt was drunk enough, he'd just eat it. And he'd say it's the best thing he's ever tasted.
I saw online this like, story about how this dude did this to his roommate, like, as a prank. He took a piece of cardboard, battered it, deep fried it, and then acted like it was, like, a pork tenderloin, put it in a sandwich, and, like, served it to... It was either his, like, roommate or his brother.
And that fucker ate the whole thing, didn't he?
I don't know, but... like, I...
What kind of shits do you think you'd have after that? Not pleasant ones?
No, I don't think it'd be too bad. It's just paper. Cardboard paper. So, yeah, maybe it might be real bad.
Oh, man. But anyway, feel free to just trash on all of our...
dessert choices.
Or trash on all of our CB handles.
Oh, yeah, that too.
They're already set in stone. We're gonna give one for Matt, though, definitely, so he can just...
No, I like a la chode.
A la chode, all right. Yeah, I can't think of anything better, so a la chode it is.
A la chode.
He has been crusted.
For sure. I mean, his full title will have to be apple pie a la chode.
Yeah.
But just a la chode for short.
A la chode. I like it. It rolls off the tongue.
It does. Does
rolls off the tongue and into the mouth
just like everything else that Matt touches. Wow, this has become like Matt Blastcast.
The Blastcast. Yeah,
maybe we should because I mean I feel like we wouldn't be saying this as much with Matt here. Maybe like 5 minutes less of blasting him, But he's not here, so fuck it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I really think... I love his whole thing. It's like, oh, you guys say stuff behind my back. No, we actually prefer to say it to your face.
Not only do we say it to your face, we put it on the internet for everybody to hear.
Yeah, exactly. So we talked about something off air before we started recording. It was about happy endings in movies.
We're actually talking about the ending, like a positive ending, not an actual Chinese Asian happy ending in movies.
not in the in the Chinese masseuse sense.
Not the verb happy ending.
Which I mean, can anyone disagree with that? Yeah,
I can't say.
I think that's the only happy ending that cannot be criticized.
It's true. Yeah, happy endings in movies. Kyle, what's your stance on them?
Alright, so here's my thing. I've watched two movies recently, Hesher and Silver Linings Playbook. And honestly, both of them can be considered to be movies with happy endings.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think what really got me worked up about it is just the fact that like people just want to trash on movies that have happy endings. Like, I know Silver Linings got some flack. I don't know if Hesher is a smaller movie, but I thought that was a happy ending. But just the whole construct, I feel like it's like with Disney movies and Pixar. Like, they're always going to have happy endings. They're kids' movies.
Yeah, they're geared towards kids.
But the whole narrative is happy, you know? And I think that's where people want to fucking just rag on happy endings. Because they're like, oh, it's the easy way to go. And, like, it's not a creative way to end a narrative. Which I think is totally false. Because I think that if you show other emotions throughout the movie, a happy ending could actually be very satisfying. And I found in Hesher just... Because Hesher, in a sense, is just like really dark and deals a lot of dark and depressing things.
See, a movie like that, though, I mean, it was never... Like you were touching on earlier, it was never happy to begin with. Most of the movies that are like cheesy happy ending now, it starts off happy.
Yeah.
It continues to be happy. Then there's like one point where it like declines, but not ever too much. But then you always know what's going to happen after that. I mean, it's going to be, either the guy and girl are going to get back together and get married because they realize, oh man, I'm an idiot. Or, you know, the girl gets saved or something. Like, it's always there. But like Hesher was like dark the entire movie.
Yeah.
And you were wanting that finish.
Yeah. Like, you wanted it to be happy. Like, you wanted a positive outcome to that story. Because it's something that everyone's, deals with in life. And you just don't want to be sad and depressed, like...
Like you would be after watching a movie like Requiem for a Dream.
Oh. By far, like, the most depressing movie.
By far, dude.
I've ever seen.
It's so... Like, Chad and I tried to watch it the other day.
Have you watched the whole thing?
Yeah, I've seen it before, but We were just like, hey, let's watch a movie. And I was flipping through what we had. And Requiem came up. And I was just like, man, I haven't seen this movie in so long. Let's watch it. And he's like, all right. And we made it like 45 minutes in. And we're just like, so you want to go like play darts or something? Like, this is kind of depressing. I was like, yeah, let's get the fuck out of here.
Dude, me and my buddy watched it in our dorm room. I think on a Friday or Saturday night before we were going out. And like... Nope. We turned off the lights and, like, watched the movie, and it was over, and we're just kind of just like...
Big mistake.
Well, you're going to want to... Just, like, what's life mean anymore? Like, what's the point of it? Let's just fucking get in a warm bathtub and just open up some veins, pretty much. Just... Right.
Which we do not condone.
No, not at all.
But, see, I'm actually on the other side. Like, I don't tend to hear people complain about happy endings. Like, most of the people I know, like, strive for that. Especially, like, I don't want to sound sexist or anything, but, like, most women want that happy ending and that romantic comedy. You know, they strive for that. It's in their nature, you know? I like movies that aren't necessarily unhappy endings, like Requiem. I mean, that's horrible. But like we were talking about earlier, a good neutral ending.
See, but I don't want neutral endings. I just want an ending that's going to maybe A, surprise me, or B, make sense within the construct of the whole story. You know what I mean? And I just want to be set on an emotional roller coaster when I'm watching a movie most of the time, right? Like, you just don't want to sit there and feel one emotion the whole time.
It's true.
Like, I want to be sad, and I want to be happy, and I want to be mad, and I want to be, like, feel a bunch of different things, because that's what makes a movie great. Like, you're feeling all these things at once at, like, you know, snap of the fingers, or it's just, like, peaks and valleys of emotions, which, I don't know, that's what makes it.
What do you think of a movie like No Country for Old Men? where it doesn't really have, you know, the peaks and valleys or whatever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the entire time, I mean, most people, I'd have to say, the entire time thought, like, Javier Bardem's character was going to be caught or killed, you know? And he just, at the end of the movie, he, you know, goes on a killing spree and just gets away with it.
Succeeds.
Yeah. And it traumatizes, what's his face?
Oh, you're talking about Tommy Lee Jones?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
He's like,
he doesn't know why this happens, or
I mean, he just completely, like,
he's losing faith in the world around him.
Yeah.
Well, it's good you brought that up, because I feel like that's a movie about self-preservation, and also it's a movie about maybe, like, the bleakness and not bleakness, but how we don't control the world around us. I mean, it's kind of what I put in when I did my movie review for A Serious Man. That's mm-hmm, a Coen Brothers film. And I feel like something that runs through all of their movies is this whole idea of just, like, fate. And there's nothing, as much as we try, like, there's nothing we can do to ultimately change our destiny. Which is kind of, like, a sad outlook on it. But that's just kind of how the Coen Brothers are. I mean, if you think about it, the Big Lebowski, it's a comedy. It's a comedic movie, and you definitely find some funny and heartfelt things, but deep down, all it is this a movie about how this guy, like, he tries all these things, and he maybe tries to better himself in life, or, you know, actually, no, I take that back, he's just trying to fucking, like, he wonders why all these things are happening to him in his life, but he doesn't do anything to change it.
Right.
And shit just keeps happening, but it's not... Maybe it's not his fault, but the Coen brothers just like to point out, hey, well, this is the world, like, you can't change things, I don't know. And I don't know if that's their personal view on it, or is that just, I just feel like it runs a lot through their movies.
It's, I don't know, I don't completely agree with that, because I feel like if life is that bad for you, there's always something you can do. Like, unless you're, I mean, even if you're a hobo or whatever, that sucks. We have nowhere to go but up. And it's hard, yeah. Or at least I think it's hard. Like, I don't have any first-hand experience of
being a hobo, living under a viaduct.
Yeah, exactly. But you can change, like, to a certain extent.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know if, I don't know, that movie works just because you do feel a lot of different things, though. It's just the whole aspect of the self-preservation, like, you never know when you're just gonna get taken out, like, you know what I mean? That's why I like that so much. But just going back to happy endings, it's like, you can't, I just don't think you can have a satisfying happy ending unless you're feeling emotion, like, other spectrums of emotion, sadness, depression, anger. Like, the reason why, like, a good happy ending would work is because you've already felt those emotions and, like, you know what it's like to not be happy. Whereas in the movies where you're just happy all the time, it's like, it's not as satisfying, because...
Well, it's also, like, I don't want to say it's an adrenaline high, but, you know, people strive to feel happy. So it's only natural to want to see a happy ending.
But you don't want to be happy all the time, do you?
No, not to a certain extent.
Because, like, I just feel like if you're going to be, if, I just feel like you have to be fucking sad and depressed to appreciate when you're happy.
I mean, nobody wants to be sad and upset and lonely and stuff, but it, I mean, I'm completely fine with being content.
Yes. Satisfied.
It's funny you brought that up, because the other day I was talking to a coworker that we both know, Randy Newman, and I was like, hey, you know, what are you doing? You know, you want to come hang out with, like, me and Kyle or whatever? And he's just like, why do I want to go hang out with the happiest person on the world? Or in the world? And I was just like, huh? And he's like, yeah, dude, Kyle, have you ever seen Kyle upset? Have you ever seen him mad or pissed off? No. He's just always smiling, always laughing. You know? And I was like, god damn, he's right.
I don't know, man. I've definitely been mad and depressed and stuff, but it's just,
The only time I ever see any little bit of like anger come across your face is in darts.
Yep. Or we're not gonna talk to Matt Hens for extended periods of time.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I just think that people strive to make everything in their life just super exciting and happy, and when they fail, like they're just super depressed. Like for me, it's all about the small victories. Like mm-hmm. I'm here. I'm alive. I have food. I got water, shelter. I don't know. I just think people over-dramatize their life way too much now. Way too much.
So do you think they... Okay, no, never mind. Back on the topic. Give me an example of... Like, I want to hear, like, three movie examples. Bad ending or sad ending... Neutral ending, happy ending. Like, give me like.
You want to do good, bad, ugly, maybe?
There you go. Well, no, because like I don't know. Like,
we can do the ugly just for a comedy sense.
Yeah. Like, what's your favorite like happy ending movie?
My favorite happy ending movie.
Whew. Not just your favorite, but like one that like comes to you and you're like, oh yeah, that's a pretty good example.
Man. Honestly, like it's fresh in my mind. But definitely, like, the Silver Linings one is a really good one.
Fucking phenomenal movie, dude.
It's just... I don't know. It's one of those movies where... This is another reason why a happy ending can work so well. Because if you constructed the story, the rest of the story, to... You're invested in these characters. You want to see these characters succeed and ultimately be happy. Like, so when that happy ending comes, like, it's just so much more satisfying than... Where they're happy, nothing's bad has happened in their lives. They haven't had to overcome any obstacles, and they're just happy, and that's the end. It's just like, it's just so bland. Like there's nothing to that. Like no one wants to see. Like I don't want to see that. Maybe some people do. They just want to live in. I don't know. I understand that movies are an escape from reality, but like, on the other hand, like most of like good story writing comes from people's life experiences, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's one for me definitely, because I was invested in these characters, like, and it got to the point where it's like, man, they just keep getting crapped on, and they just keep like all this shit happens, but they still want to like try. Well, like definitely Bradley Cooper's character, like he's like trying to be as positive as he can,
right?
And he like, I guess like the biggest. It's almost like the movie itself is almost like a argumentative piece against like sad endings, because what's Bradley Cooper's character reads like a Hemingway novel, and he's like super pissed because he's invested in these characters, and he's talking about how like everyone survived, but then at the end like the one he wants to be with, she dies, and he's like, why does it have to be sad endings, blah blah blah. Like I think it was that movie in itself was almost trying to say, hey, like why are we trying to like make these super sad endings? Like why do we have to
invoke emotion, yes. Man? Like I feel like whenever I get done watching a movie with a happy ending, it's just like, well, yeah, that was expected. All right, yeah, what do you guys want to go do? But you fucking. You watch something with, like, a fucking horrible ending or an unhappy ending, and it just leaves you feeling, like, so much emotion about it. And it's just, like, a lingering effect where you're, oh, man.
I already have a... Well, okay, so what was your, like, one of your favorite happy
endings? One of my favorite happy endings? I would have to say... I don't know if I want to go with that one, though. We'll go Toy Story, like, number 3, because, you know, it's getting long, and all these toys or whatever, you know, some are, like, splitting off, some are getting old or whatever, and they almost all fucking die. You know what I mean? If you haven't watched the movie, go watch it.
I've not watched it.
You've never seen Toy Story 3?
No.
Oh, shit. Just simply put,
get pretty dusty.
Well, I don't know how to.
Does it get pretty dusty?
What do you mean by dusty?
Little tears?
Yeah, missed you for sure.
A little crying?
Yes.
Feeling like a little baby?
But it was just such a good, happy ending because it was like a resolution to like the entire like trilogy.
But there it in lies the whole thing, though. Like, it's a happy ending, but you had to feel the sadness and, like, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's why it worked so well, because it was, like, it wasn't just a straight, like, line. Like, it started off, you know, like, happy-go-lucky, and then they just fucking tear you down with mm-hmm. some stuff. And then, I mean, that just makes the ending, the high, like, even better.
Yep. They want to build you back up.
So what would be your example of, like, an unhappy?
Man. Mystic River came to mind.
Ooh.
I mean, that's just... I mean, we could talk about Requiem for a Dream, but, I mean, that's just... I think it's just on a whole nother level. Like, I don't even know. Like, that movie's just about addiction and the dark reality of it.
And how everybody has their own addiction.
Yeah.
It's just to, like, what extent.
Yeah. And it's... Alright. I don't even want to think about it. But Mystic River is definitely an example of just a really fucking bleak and kind of sad ending. Because you have... I can't think of his name now. You got Kevin Bacon. You got Sean Penn. And then... God damn it. I can't think of his name. Shawshank Redemption guy. Tim Robbins.
Andy Dufresne.
But it's just like it's just such a sad ending because you have this guy who has been traumatized his whole life. Well, he's traumatized by this just single event in his childhood. And on top of that, like, he's just basically like lost touch with his wife and his family. And then, it just, like, builds up to the point where now he's being accused of the heinous crime that's happened to one of his other friends' daughters. And it just, like, crescendos into them on the beach just, you know how it goes.
I just want to say, I fucking love that word, crescendo.
That's the only way to describe it. It is just, it's just one of those.
See, things. I mean, you're feeling it right now.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I love, like, unhappy or neutral endings. Cause it's just, or,
what would you really say? Neutral, what would you say Fight Club is? Is it a neutral ending?
Yeah, because it wasn't really a happy ending, but it wasn't a sad ending at all. It ended, like, pretty, yeah, like, neutral. Like, there was no reason. It didn't leave you just feeling, ugh.
Do you feel like the ending, though, wasn't as good as the rest of the movie?
The whole like last like 20 minutes to a half hour just like maybe not even that when they started like doing all those projects and stuff and like okay there's a reason like they're like amassing this like army mm-hmm. of people that's when it just started getting like whoa what like I had no idea it was gonna go this way at all
yeah like I loved how it just built up to this. And obviously you have the big reveal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to spoil it if you haven't seen it. I mean, I would say like 99.9% of the people know the fucking ending.
Just say it. You're not going to spoil
it. So when he finds out that he's the same fucking person as Tyler Durden.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... Honestly, like, could the movie have ended right there and would you have been mad?
Oh, yeah. I want like, answers, man. Like, I want to know why the fuck, you know.
But you already know all the answers then, right?
Not really, because you don't know what the hell is going on with whole, like, Project Mayhem.
That's
stuff.
True. I mean...
You don't know what all this work is being done to, like, to what's the end goal of all that.
I guess there was some satisfaction, like, after the reveal, like, he's trying to work it all through and, like, meeting all the crazy people, like, in the police force and stuff like that, but... I don't know. I'm him-hawing right now, but I really think that if it just would have ended with, like, hey, guess what? You're Tyler Durden. I would have been fine. I think that would have been cool. Like, it would have been an awesome ending. It would have been a better ending than what it was. Like, it kind of just... It, it, after all that great buildup, and like it has a lot of good messages in it, but after all that, to end that way, it's kind of just like, it wasn't bad. Like, it wasn't yelling at the screen like, what the fuck, but right. It wasn't like, I'm not on my fucking feet clapping about it.
That's a pretty good example of a neutral ending.
Yeah.
I like that. I just watched that movie like 2 weeks ago.
Well, it's very guy, like, though. Man. It's definitely a guy's movie. You know, I listened to another podcast, and he talked a lot about how it if you think about it, it probably influenced the Jackass culture. If you think about it. Like, does Jackass exist without Fight Club, the movie?
Oh, yeah. People always have wanted to do dumb things, and it just took, you know, took time for people to start recording it.
It definitely influenced Jackass, though. I mean, if you think about it, just like guys with no time, like nothing to do, bored, and they just start something like real, like, they just start going around doing really just random and reckless things.
That's true. I'm gonna go with Memento, man.
Memento?
Memento.
That's a good ending. Like,
it's not a happy, and it's not sad.
It's, yeah.
Like, for my neutral choice, Memento is a pretty neutral ending.
Well, it's however,
and that's why I love
it.
How
it's. I guess it's how you want to perceive reality, right?
It's also the movie, another perfect example of like the reveal at the end.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
yeah.
There's no, man. Like I said, it can be taken as a happy ending because he creates his own reality and he continues to have purpose in his life, or you can take it as a super sad ending because everything that he constructs around him isn't real anymore. But, I mean, I'm okay with it. It's kind of like, if what would you rather do? Like, would you rather get old and just become senile, or would you rather just get old and have to feel everything, every creak, every just like painful memory of the last years of your life where you're just fading away
right
into blackness?
Ugh, I don't even want to think about that. But for the sake of time, what's your unhappy? Oh wait, no, you said Mystic River, right?
Yeah, Mystic okay. River.
I'd have to say, in most recent memory, the most, like, unhappy ending of a movie I've ever seen is probably The Mist.
Yes.
Holy shit.
The Mist, yeah, that's probably my favorite, that's probably one of my favorite endings of a movie.
That is so bad. And when, if you guys don't know, I mean, it's a pretty old movie. Not too old, but.
Well, you know that Stephen King said that he didn't think about how to end his book that way, but if he did, that like that he wanted that ending.
Yeah
that the screenwriter made up. And another tidbit that I found out was the studio, once they got the script and they saw the ending, they said that they were gonna give him half of the money,
right?
And he said, no, fuck it, I'm leaving it. So he actually had to go to other studios, and like they made it on like a quarter of the budget than what it originally was gonna be.
I heard also the studio, whoever, producer, whoever, that they didn't like the ending and they wanted to change it.
Yep.
And seeing he was like, well, no way.
Yeah.
Either you leave that ending in there or you're not making this movie.
Yeah.
And if you guys don't know, like,
I love it.
What pretty much happens at the end is, I mean, the premise of the movie, there's this like mist. And it has all these, like, what would you even call them? Not aliens?
It's kind of left to your interpretation whether it's creatures, aliens, or monsters. Well, because it centers around a secret facility, right? Military
yeah.
facility
yeah.
in the town. So you're either led to believe it's aliens that came down and we trapped them, or creatures that we made ourselves.
And, I mean, they're all in this mist. It's pretty much just like a fog everywhere. And they're all, like, stuck in a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And
which, by the way, fucking, I mean, there's a lot of good things about this movie. I mean, you could talk about the, I mean, the ending's the best part, but I mean, you could talk about, like, characters you hate the most.
Oh, crazy,
the religious zealot.
Crazy religious lady.
Yep.
God damn, I've never wanted to hurt somebody so much before. Long story short, at the very end of the movie, the main character decides there's no way out. There's no way he's gonna prevail over this mist full of monsters. So there's what, four of them, and he's got like three bullets
left. Yep.
So he decides to kill three people, one of which is his son.
Mm-hmm.
Only to find out, he had to live with it because he didn't have a bullet for himself.
He was going to spare his family, his son, the misery and just live it out himself.
Yes. And so he's parked out in the middle of nowhere, nowhere to go, no way out, kills his family, spares them. Like, he's left. And then all of a sudden,
The help arrives.
Not even like 30 seconds later.
Yeah.
There's like military coming through.
Yep.
Like defeating all these monsters and stuff. And he had just killed his family. Mm-hmm. I'm getting chills just even talking about it right now. That was so bad, dude. It was so unhappy.
It's a pretty great ending. And it's kind of an ending I'm surprised that Stephen King didn't think of it. Because he's pretty bleak on his fucking ending.
Right.
Usually. So just a great piece of writing.
So good.
All right, so let's just stick this in really fast. So we're gonna do Sweet 16 still. That's just one of our prevailing and overarching topics. I got Moose Tracks ice cream.
Woo! Moose Tracks ice cream. You know, I'm not going to use this as one of my picks. I just want to argue, ice creams.
All right. What are we going to argue about?
I just want to say what my favorite ice cream is.
Oh, okay.
Peppermint flake.
Peppermint flake.
Peppermint flake is so good. Wait, I take that back. Goddamn black cherry ice cream. Bonnie Doon's black cherry ice cream is my favorite ice cream of all time.
I'd say Moose Tracks is probably my favorite, but a very, very close, maybe even just like a 1 and a 1A, is Mint Oreo. I don't know why, but I like mint and chocolate ice cream. There's just something really
mint
tasty.
Mint Oreo?
Yeah.
I can't say I've ever seen that.
It's at Dairy Queen. They have a Mint Oreo Blizzard you should check out sometime if you're into that. If that's your thing.
No, dude. Butterfinger Blizzards are my thing.
Butterfinger's good, too. I used to eat a Butterfinger Blizzard a lot, but Moose Tracks. So,
Moose Tracks.
What do you got?
What am I proposing? Like we were saying, I don't really eat a lot of sweets either.
Well, cookies. Some type of cookie you could put on the list.
Cookie.
So we got pumpkin pie, German chocolate cake, and Moose Tracks.
Moose Tracks ice cream. I'm a real big fan of Subway's double chunk chocolate chip cookies.
Oh yeah, don't they have a fucking cheesecake?
They do. They have a raspberry cheesecake cookie, which is insane. But they're like double chunk. It's I'm pretty sure that's what it's called. It's a chocolate cookie, not a chocolate chip. It's a chocolate ass cookie. With
Wesley Snipes chocolate.
It's like a reverse chocolate chip.
Right.
Because it's a black cookie with white chocolate.
With white chocolate chips.
With white chocolate chips in it.
Yeah.
And it was so good. And I remember partying out at Brian Boak's house all the time. And right before Subway closed, we'd always have one person go make a run and buy all the cookies that are there and bring them back. And we'd all just sit around the fire eating them. And those were my favorite. They're so good.
So what are they called?
I think they're called double chunk.
Double chunk?
Double chunk chocolate cookies. I don't fucking know.
I bet it's double chocolate or something.
I can look it up real quick.
Double chocolate chip. But yeah, that'll be a good one. I'll pull it black and white, so I kind of remember.
They're so good, especially if they're like fresh. And if they're not, then you just, you know, you microwave it for like 5 seconds.
The nice gooey, and soft, nice and gooey, gooey.
Such a good
gooey.
Gooey.
You know what I like to do though? As much as I love my CB handle as Pickle Loaf, I'd like to go back in time to basically find that guy that invented Pickle Loaf and just knee him like right in the ball sack.
Like, fuck you, dude.
Hey man, so you the guy that made Pickle Loaf? Yeah man, that's me. Just bam, just not even, no words after that, just knee repeatedly to the groin.
You'd be just fine. Yes, it's called a double chocolate chip cookie.
Alright, good to go. Would you do the same to Mr. Lucas?
Hey Gary, I heard you're a pretty big fan of the Star Wars. Well, we're coming out with new episodes here pretty soon.
And I'd be like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be great. You're going to see Anakin Skywalker.
Annie. Little Annie, huh?
Yeah, but he's a kid.
Who are you going to get to play this Annie?
I don't know. There'll be lots of people. Gary, don't you want to come see the new Star Wars movies?
God damn it, Lucas. God damn you. All right? You fucking ruined your own goddamn franchise. Built by hand.
Hey, you get to see Boba Fett.
That's true.
But he's a little kid.
But he's a goddamn little kid.
It's like he had like a pedophile thing going on or something. He just like took all of his characters and like, all right, what would it be like as little kids?
Ew.
Exactly. Which is exactly what you could say about the Star Wars films. Just,
and ew. On that one, on that note.
Not even Ewan McGregor himself could save that movie. He tried.
He did try. Well, I mean, that's what happens when you, like, when you kill off, like, the most badass motherfucker ever. And he kind of wasn't, but Qui-Gon Jinn.
I've already talked about this. I want you to write, a 500-word essay about why Boba Fett's your favorite character. And then I want Matt to write a 500-word essay about how he just, like, he thinks Boba Fett is the most worthless character.
The most worthless person. What'd he say? In science fiction history?
Yeah, that he got a little too far on that. But
like, are you fucking kidding me?
I mean, there's already a character in the same universe that's worse than him. Yeah.
What a turd. We gotta wrap this up. Thanks for joining us. We'll try to be more consistent with our episodes.
Yeah, definitely. We know where we're at.
Yeah.
We know how to do this.
Spitballsfire.com, uh-huh. iTunes.
iTunes, Horn,
at Horned Sports for Kyle. At Sightless Solo for Gary. And the best one yet, at MD Hints for Matt.
Wait, Matt has his own website?
No, his Twitter.
Oh, his Twitter.
Twitter account. MD Hints, how original. Good job, Matt. You know what his Twitter name should be?
Alan Chode.
Besides Alan Chode. It should be, no, on my hands, I like food.
Just the audio recording, just click on the audio recording when you see it. This is my name.
Yeah, Dill.
Hingle McCringleberry.
We're gonna go watch that right now.
Appalachian State.
Penn State. Penitentiary.
Are you so are you pretty happy that I showed you the Back to the Future SNL though?
Yes, I was. It was very good. Thank you for that.
Alright. On that note, have a good weekend, guys.
Yeah, see you later.
Spitballs of Fire!